blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts, the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 greatly prohibitive precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering.
Well, a couple things that came up this morning. One, actually, I was just reading for a few minutes, and in this book I was reading, this person was quoting Jesus and the Gospel of Thomas, which is not one of the Gospels that got into the Bible. Mm-hmm. And I always sort of thought the reason they didn't get in there was because they were the ones that told the truth. But he was quoting, apparently, I don't know, because I think I read the Gospel of Thomas years ago, but I've forgotten it, but he says the first quotation attributed to Jesus in it is something along the lines of, we have to keep seeking until we find. When we find, we will be disturbed. And after we're disturbed, we'll be astonished. And after we're astonished, we'll be free. And I thought, oh. I thought I've been living a lot and being disturbed.
Perhaps there's something beyond disturbed.
Yeah. I mean, I've just been noticing how much conditioning doesn't want to be disturbed.
Doesn't want to be disturbed.
No.
Although it's probably doing the disturbing, we might
suspect. In a sense, but I think in the sense that was being pointed to was that, you know, we have our comfortable set of beliefs and assumptions, mm-hmm. and we really don't want to know that they're not so.
Yeah, in that sense of being disturbed because what we're holding on to is getting a little questionable.
Yeah, perhaps. Right. Yeah. It's like, you know, just feeling in that place where it's clear that it's all an illusion. Mm-hmm. Where it's clear that there's nothing to be gained in holding on to what feels known and comfortable, and yet just having, you know, the visceral, don't take that away. Where's my little, my source of comfort, you know, where just, you know, give me the sofa and the wood stove and the blankie and the cat and the book and leave me alone.
And leave me alone.
And leave me alone, right. Just, leave me, leave I alone.
Yes.
You know, don't poke.
Yeah.
Don't poke around in my world that I've created.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so just, you know, just noticing, you know, that the pull is clearly there to keep the search, to keep going till you find, and to that place of astonishment and freedom, and then just noticing how strong the counterpull is to want to avoid the discomfort of that.
Yeah. And so what do you, you have a plan?
Yeah, the plan. The plan is to do things that disturb the comfort. Mm-hmm. You know, like sign up for things that conditioning says, oh, you couldn't possibly do that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. You couldn't possibly
do that.
That
would be way too challenging. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, which is interesting in itself, mm-hmm. isn't it? What is exactly is too challenging?
Right. Well,
and
it's
probably
too,
what you're pointing
it's
at.
Too
it's
challenging to the comfort
yeah.
system. Well, you wouldn't, you know.
Yeah.
You know, just, yeah.
This isn't going to suggest that doing that thing that it's calling too challenging mm-hmm. would actually take you to a higher level of comfort
right.
than you've ever experienced.
Right, which is what I know that it would do.
Yeah.
But it doesn't.
From your own experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's very clear. I mean, you know, it's just, when you get out of the way and you say, what is my next step? It always arises clearly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was funny. I had this conversation with a mentor the other day. So, you know, in the context of deepening practice, you know, I was looking at the assignment to, you know, what is your heart calling you to do to deepen practice? And I had three things that came up right away.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to record and listen about them to get the mentor's input on, basically, I think, on which of the three I should do. And the mentor said, wow, those are great. Now, why would you not do all of them?
Yeah.
I went, oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
Why would I not?
And the answer is probably exactly what you...
Right.
are talking about
right.
that ego doesn't want to be disturbed.
Right, yeah. But it's always clear from center what is the path to the greater freedom.
Yeah.
You know? And I have that moment of clarity and then conditioning comes in and says, well, you know, with the yeah but
yeah.
Yeah, but what about?
Yeah. And what do you do with that?
Well, at the moment, I'm just practicing not listening to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hearing the yeah, but.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Because
that's too much.
It's,
that's
yeah,
too,
it's just it's,
you're not up to that.
It's just familiar. I mean, it's just, yeah. it's a recording.
Yeah, yes.
You know?
Yeah. Tape loop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And the other image that arose for me this morning, kind of a nice counterpoint to that in a way. There was this, it was a TV commercial, which I wouldn't have ever known since we don't watch TV, but that it got sent around as an email.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually a beer commercial, and it was Clydesdale's, but there was this little young Clydesdale in the barn, and he walks over to the, you know, there's the big wagon, the heavy load, and the big harness for the horse, and he walks over and puts his head through the harness and starts pulling, you know, and pretty soon the big heavy wagon starts to move, and he's moving out of the barn with his load, and you can just see how pleased he is with himself, and then the camera shows behind it, there are two of the big Clydesdales pushing with their noses on the back of the thing, and there's a guy sitting there with his dog and watching, and he says to the dog, I won't tell if you won't. why it came up for me this morning, I think, was just, you know, the innocence of, you know, those young creatures want to do for the joy of who they are, want to take on the big loads.
They see,
you know,
the joy
yeah.
in things.
It's
yeah.
not like, oh my God, I could never pull that big load.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
When I
self-doubt is
you
not
know,
in there.
I bet I could do that.
Yeah.
You know? And then, you know, just stepping in to do that and then having the power of support behind.
You might say Sangha.
Like, exactly. You might say Sangha to support you and saying, yeah, you can do it.
Yes. Yeah, all you need is a little
boost. A little push.
Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah.
I hope you'll send that quotation to Peace Corps.
Oh, that would be good, wouldn't it?
It would.
Yeah, it's a good one. I will do that. Thank you. Thank you for that suggestion.
So, I like that quote. I'm looking at this. So, we're disturbed. and then we're astonished, and then we're free, and then we're disturbed. And I realize in myself is there's such an impulse to, okay, now this is resolved. Now this is taken care of. And often there is a sort of plateauing for a while, you know, like if you feel like you sort of crack through something. And then you know, that just the constant invitation essentially to risk it all, all over again.
Yes.
And
not to rest in thinking something is actually finished.
Yeah. So I've just been looking at that, you know, I've been talking a lot lately about energy, and I find that I'm just close to tears all the time, I'm close to giggling all the time, you know, it's just, there's just a lot of churning, and it's very uncomfortable. Yes, for the container. And I just see, you know, it's just, this is the next invitation, the next disturbance.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, how to be okay with all of it.
Yeah,
and here's the next thing to accept, to live in.
I was thinking, you know, I like to read murder mysteries, and I think the reason people like murder mysteries, they're wildly popular, is that there's a resolution. You know, it's, when it's over, the murderer is caught, it's all, crime is solved, and it's over. Then you have to remember that it's the next murder mystery. So that's what it feels like life is like right now.
Like a whole series of murder mysteries that...
Well, murder is a bad image, actually, but... a whole series of disturbance stories.
Well, you know, extinguishing ego over and over again.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. Thank you.
That's really interesting. There's a... When that was shared, I got... there's this exercise program that is based upon never allowing the body to get used to what it's doing. It's based on something called muscle confusion.
Muscle confusion.
Literally, it's you know, it's like when Penny said plateau, it's like that's what happens, is if you do the same thing over and over again, the system gets used to it, and basically nothing happens after that. When you switch things up and constantly introduce new things over and over again, the body just never gets used to figuring something out and being comfortable with it.
Right.
And therefore, change constantly keeps happening. I was like, wow, that is so intense. That's so true. That's
it's so perfect for practice, isn't it?
Yeah. Because it's like always having to have to be present to what's going on. It just never gets easy because of it, and because it never gets easy, it's always challenging.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's challenging in a fun way, because you start watching that you get better and better and better at dealing with more and more things that the body is asked to do in this. And it, of course, the parallel of practice is the more and more you do practice, it gets more and more subtle, and you can stay present for a lot longer. And and it's just like that. I love that. It's like, you know, disturbed, you know, I forget the sequence now.
Yeah.
But
and the last one, it's free.
Yes.
And that's the one we can keep coming back to. Yeah, it sounds like every time you meet the challenge.
Yeah, in that way. And something that I've been looking at is that I'm always surprised that I hope is a process that happens for me, where so I've been asked to do something, and there's what happened this time was it's two things that I really am interested in, but they're just like apples and bananas, you know, like I don't see how they go together. I thought, gosh, what am I going to do with this now? You know, it's like it doesn't. You know, this is what the voices are saying, and I don't see how they go together. I can't make it. And I'm just, you know, okay, well, I don't see it right now. What happens is that because of that, I don't get wildly enthusiastic about it. I don't know why, but it's not like immediate. You know, like if I don't see it, then it's not like, I'm going to get ready to start working on it. It's almost like I'm just it's on the back burner. It's like,
and these two things are supposed to go together somehow, but you're not seeing how that works.
No, not at all. And so, it's been on the back burner for a little while. And just this morning, going around, and just several things I'm looking at in practice, and all of a sudden, boom. There it is. It's like literally what almost the whole thing just showed up.
Is
it? It's unusual, but it happens that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like and I always find myself in the same spot early on with it. It's like, why do I doubt? Why do I doubt that it's going to end up happening that way?
Yeah. But it sounds like in a way, and this is projection. Certainly, partly. There needs to be that time of almost trying to figure it out, and then that place of, well, I'll just put it on a back burner for now, and then comes the astonishment.
Yeah, it's interesting. I would say that I was trying to figure anything out. It was almost like I couldn't see how it was going together.
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like that puzzle, like that, I don't know.
The 3D thing?
When they were popular, I was never able to do them. So, anyway, but it's like that. It's like I'm just looking at it. Well, I guess it must be possible. Someone can do it. And so I'm just like walking away. And I imagine that if I had those things around me long enough, maybe it would have popped out all of a sudden. You know, who knows? But that's what it feels like. It's almost like it's just there. You know, it's in my consciousness somewhere.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm not actually pretty much concerned about it at all.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden, I'm just passing by something, and it just drops in.
How the apples and bananas make that fruit salad.
Exactly. So never doubt the fruit salad.
Never doubt the fruit salad.
That's
a for a good life.
Could throw something in. I've been looking at this fascinating process around the food we've been eating.
Mm-hmm.
That we were eating in some ways a much more simple diet, incredibly nutritious and whole and all of that. But a grain and a bean and a vegetable and things like that. And there's this fascinating thing that I watch where there's an idea of it and then there's an experience of it.
Uh-huh.
And the idea of it is, this is boring, and I don't want to eat this way.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. it's not yummy, and like that. And there's a grace that allows me, because I suspect that process has gone on my entire life and prevented me from the experience of whatever.
Of whatever, yeah. Could be food, could be.
And so I'm noticing is that I sit down to eat without any sort of effort at all. I'm just able to have the experience of eating.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mm-hmm. great.
Yeah.
I love it. It's delicious. And I've been actually consciously playing with it because I know the application is huge. I don't even know quite how to describe it, but it's like this, okay, now, would I rather have this, or would I rather have, blah, blah, blah? Well, of course I'd rather have, the ice cream and whatever, but I wouldn't.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that's so interesting to watch. The parallel for me is that I talked about this weeks ago when we were talking about the no mind sort of experience where we were practicing just, Sherry did an exercise with us, and I think she did it somewhere else, on the radio show, I think she did a little version of it. But what was so impactful for me is that I realized, and this is such an obvious thing, but it's one of those you can say it and then have the experience. Of course, in that, there's no suffering. It's impossible to suffer in that place.
Yeah.
And so it reminds me of how very simple what we're doing really is.
Mm.
But it's that same thing of, well, yeah, but I don't want that.
Yeah.
I want ice cream.
Yeah. Yeah. And all of that's going on in the thinking.
Yeah. So it's just so fascinating to sit there and have this incredibly delicious meal and realize, and in fact, often the image that comes up for me is, this would be a fabulous Thanksgiving dinner.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, this meal is as good as any meal I could ever imagine eating.
Mm-hmm.
Truly. Mm-hmm. And yet there's that, yeah, but it's not special. It's not what I want. And that's exactly it, I think.
Yes.
Between the choosing not to suffer is very simple and completely what I actually want, what my heart actually wants.
Yeah.
But there's this idea of all these other possibilities.
Yeah.
That some I want.
Yes. Yeah. There's the experience of this is delicious. And then there's the parallel reality of what I really would like, which has no, it's not in the moment, it's not what's happening.
It's really a pretty fun sort of inquiry, because of course, that's that right in there place is, at least for me, such a fascinating place to look, because the other two are pretty straightforward. When I'm not suffering, I'm not suffering.
Mm-hmm.
When I am, I am. But what is that? How does the transition between the two happen? So how
between present and
how do I get talked back into suffering?
Yeah.
If it's so obvious how to do it and that I want it.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Yeah.
And it's just feels like there's a lot of information right in that place. In this particular analogy of that food, you know, that idea of this other meal that I could be having.
Yeah, and it's neat because that's available 3 or 4 times a day in terms of my experience of being here, tasting the textures, the flavors, whatever, or being somewhere else having a better meal that doesn't exist.
Yeah, and the other thing that it makes available, sort of as an aside, but is then there are times where I'm eating a meal and it actually isn't one of my favorite things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's completely fine. And there doesn't need to be any disliking of that.
Right.
But it does sort of open, I guess it kind of relates to the what lights you up thing, is that there is, it feels like that's, it frees up a playfulness around what's particular about this being that can, what is this being in particular like, or, you know, manifest, or, you know, offer, or that sort of thing, that can be really fun to play with without a I to want it or not want it or hate it or like it or whatever.
Yeah, and to make it about that I instead of making it in the spirit of inquiry and saying, how does all this work?
Yeah.
This is bringing up something I think is what people are talking about. Seems like something I've been hearing from, been listening and reading a number of things. And I've heard a number, like 3 or 4 visionary thinkers, visionary beings, talking about this time in history. You know, 2012 is a big year in the, you know, the Mayan calendar. Some people project on it that it's the end of civilization, but there's obviously a lot of energy right now and a lot of consciousness changing kind of energy. And I've heard 3 or 4, you know, people talk about what is happening in this particular phase of our conscious evolution is that it's a time when we've been practicing, we've been working on things, we've been developing all these different modalities of healing, and right now it's time to just be in well-being.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's time to just step into who we really are. that we've been, you know, working on it. Mm-hmm. And it seems like that's kind of what we're talking about, you know, that we've been working on seeing how ego works. And we've seen now that how you know, the choice is pretty clear.
Mm-hmm. Freedom or suffering. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that, you know, people have been saying, basically, it's kind of easy to do. You know, it's not a great big deal. It's just kind of not doing what ego is telling us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I just find that really interesting that message is kind of in the ethers. And things go like that, you know. Mm-hmm. That seems like, and it's sort of in the very context of our theme of without a change in behavior, there's no change in consciousness. So the change in behavior is just, okay, step into it, be it.
Mm-hmm.
Be.
Mm-hmm.
Be.
Mm-hmm.
Be who you really are. Be who we really are. Authentically, you know, not eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Authentically loving, intelligent, wise, peaceful, joyful.
Mm-hmm.
Beings. It's almost like we haven't. Now this is a big giant projection. This is exactly what I'm. But it's almost like we haven't felt like we could deserve that. So we've been looking at that and talking about that and working towards that. And but we haven't been worthy enough to actually just be that. And it's almost like, okay, you know, enough of that.
Yeah.
Let's get on with it.
Yeah. Let's start saying yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it sounds like that's your experience.
Well, it's certainly, there it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It is, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, my paradigm for this year is, it's evolved a number of times, but it is, oh dear, gonna blank out because I'm gonna say it out loud. I am here, embraced by life, living and loving wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm.
And that is in contrast to the old paradigm, which is all about not being enough.
Yeah.
And so it's you know how we talk about it, it's not an affirmation, it's something to step into.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
something to live into as opposed to living the old paradigm, which I realized wasn't my old paradigm, but my limiting paradigm of 2011. It's my limiting paradigm of my whole life. So,
yeah.
It just seems like the whole energy of everything is just, you know, really powerful.
Supporting that, too.
Supporting all of us, being all of the world, just being that way. You know.
Living wholeheartedly.
Yeah, stepping into the who we really are.
Yeah. Exciting times.
Yeah.
What else?
This is kind of smorgasbord, I think, this morning. My addition to it is that we've had a couple of conversations around here recently about fairness and equality.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know about equality. Fairness, yeah. An example was we decided, well, I don't know what the example is. Anyway, it's just about everybody, people not having special privileges.
Mm-hmm.
And special arrangements.
Kind of equal opportunity.
Yeah, and it feels good. I really like that the attention is being put on that.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking about how radically different that is from life, you know, the conditioned world.
Yes.
Especially, I think, in our society, but maybe it's been like this always in all societies, I'm not sure. But you know, it's all about having special privileges mm-hmm. and being being better off than other people and being able to do things other people can't. And you know, money, of course, is a vehicle for it. You know, mm-hmm. The more you have, the more special privileges you have. And just to make a conscious decision that that's not what we're doing.
Yeah.
And it's not a conditioned equality. That's why I hesitated about saying equality. It's not a conditioned equality where it's like everybody's going to have the same not enough or something like that.
Right. We'll all be deprived together.
Exactly. It's
yeah.
It's we don't want to give our fellow humans like a reason to be resentful because I've got something you don't, and I have special advantages that you don't, or like that. Anyway, I just find it really refreshing, and it feels like it's helping to guide me in my heart towards the place I want to live, towards one of the places I want to live from.
Yeah, because it's not about anybody giving things up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it is that. Somehow there's a drift into privilege for some reason, and just to level the playing field in a way.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that's sort of corollary with it is other conversations we've been having, and I've been really looking at for me about like what do I give myself, and like mm-hmm. what do I allow myself to have, and mm-hmm. why, and things like that, and. Same sort of thing. You know, the ego is always driving mm-hmm. for like a special deal. And that's the way it usually manifests in terms of some kind of physical thing.
Mm-hmm.
But not always. But it's the same kind of thing. And it feels like, what did you say, Danielle? It's not, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Level the playing field was the only.
Yeah.
But it isn't about deprivation for anybody.
No, although it is about deprivation for conditioning, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, the thing, the example that's going on for me right now is, so I stopped drinking tea and coffee about a year ago because it was messing with my stomach, and I've been fine without it. But I recently found out that the reason that tea messes up your stomach is because it's got tannin in it, which whatever that is,
mm-hmm.
and it's some kind of harsh thing that you know a lot of people's stomachs don't like. And if you put like milk or soy milk in your tea, which I typically had not done before, it neutralizes it. So suddenly, and I tried it, and it works. So suddenly I can drink tea again. So the part of me inside goes, yippee! That's something for me. And I think that, I mean, it's nice to drink tea. But what my condition wants to do is, okay, well, you know, how am I going to have it? How can I make it special?
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Like all this other kind of stuff. And it's just, that's just not it at all. It's just...
Yeah.
There's this middle way, I think, with everything, where it's not like I don't get to have it, and then I get to have something special, but it's just like, thank you. Now, sometimes it's really nice to have a cup of tea, but it doesn't have to be for me.
Right.
It can just be, that's a nice thing to have at this time of day, because there's like a little sleepy thing that kind of happens.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't have to have the best tea or something special or, you know, any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's neat because I hadn't seen before that what we're discussing as a community obviously also applies internally to the parts of us and how we treat them,
mm-hmm.
and which ones get sort of more privilege, which ones get more stage time, and which ones are sort of left. That's all those words aren't necessarily applying in both situations, but just seeing that, of course, it applies internally as well as within the community.
Yeah, I think the real distinction is, am I giving my energy, my life to a separate self
mm-hmm.
instead of the heart? You know, I can't remember, I must have been Thursday night, I'm sure it was here, we were talking about being sneaky and hiding out and stuff like that, and I really am motivated. I've actually been doing this over the last couple months occasionally, is sort of outing some of the mm-hmm. things that I do to get guidance on them. I actually had a really interesting experience a few weeks ago where I just kind of had a list that I asked for guidance on, and every single thing was, oh yeah, that's a great idea, that's a really good thing, and they were, oh, I think you should do more of that.
Mm-hmm.
But ego was hanging on to them as things I feel bad about and everything, but this morning in my hermitage, I made a list of questionable behaviors and things. There's not much. I mean, I think most people in the world look at that and say, there's not a whole lot to really get anxious about. But my identity hangs on to those things.
Yeah.
It's a way it sort of kind of keeps itself real in this environment. And so I really want to just clean all that stuff up as much as I can.
Yeah, because once it's out, once it's been outed, there's no, the blackmailer is sort of out of work.
Yeah, it's funny because after I got that piece of input three weeks ago, conditioning is still trying to make me feel bad about these certain things. But whenever it tries to, I say, well, Sherry said that was okay. she was kind of enthusiastic about that one. You know, so there's really nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you say, it just takes the ammunition out of it.
Yeah.
And it's nice because, like you say, it isn't about deprivation. And that's why it's actually a short point that Sherry made. It's practice is not about deprivation. It's just about coming from here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, anything that I could do that's being used to support the illusion of a separate day is going to be an unkindness.
Yeah, and I just saw as you were saying that anything that I hold on to as, I don't know how to say it, as somehow waiting in one direction or another, that's not helpful.
Mm-hmm. Like, you mean like an agenda that's being pushed, kind of?
Or that I have some behavior, or I have some privilege, or I have something that is being used in essentially to support the identity.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to feel good. Mm-hmm. So it's not so much, I think that's where I get to with level playing field. It's about sort of supporting the heart in what it knows is appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
It's not appropriate for me to be able to do this thing and nobody else is able to do it because mm-hmm. they don't have the same tools I have or something like that.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I like what you're saying. It does, it feels clean. Like, yeah. I think about the tea, you know, so I've been drinking tea recently and, you know, just plain tea. It's just, you know, just one box that just says tea. It doesn't say English breakfast tea, or just says tea. It is organic. Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's really good.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. It's really good for me, I'm sure. As opposed to, I mean, actually, I don't know if tea is good for you or not, but as opposed to what else I might try to do with it. But I have it, and then it's over, and I let it go. Mm-hmm. There's nothing about it that is... that makes me special.
Yeah. And you won't be heartbroken tomorrow if it's not available.
Mm-hmm. No, and I would be if I was creating something special out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's just something that, oh, and it could be, it's very likely actually that, the reason I'm getting away with this right now is just because the toxins got out of my system after having undone for so long, and then, you know, maybe it'll come back, my stomach will start getting upset again, and it'll just be, oh, okay, well, whatever.
Yeah.
It really doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's the play. It feels like that's the middle way. It really doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It really doesn't.
So that rules the time.
I don't know why, but this two things came up. I heard this great, I guess this has to do with just paying attention to the heart. Mm-hmm. And what occurred to me when I was listening was, you know, between no tea and 80 Rolls Royces, there's a lot of middle way. There's a lot of middle ground, mm-hmm. all of which could be appropriate, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it felt really big. I like that. And then the other thing that came up, sort of in relation to that, was I read this story apparently told by a Native American, where all the creatures were gathered, and they were asked to talk about what their function was in the universe. And so, you know, the worm said, well, my function is to create air and space in the soil, and The deer said, my function is to walk through the forest and to watch, you know. And the beaver said, well, my function is to cut down the trees and keep the water clear and all this. And all the creatures said that. And there was one little creature standing back that looked confused, and so it was the human being. And so finally all the creatures turned and looked at the human being and said, okay. And that human being said, I really don't know what my function is. And they all looked at him and said, you don't? And he said, your function is to praise it all. Mm-hmm. Your function is to praise creation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't know, it just feels like that's how we find the middle way, you know. The way is this praising creation. That's really all it's about. And it could be anywhere between mm-hmm. no tea and 80 Rolls Royces at any given moment. Makes sense to me. Makes sense to me. It makes sense to anyone else, but that makes sense to me right now.
Well, I hear yes, thank you.
Yeah.
What else?
I could look at something, but it seems so unrelated. I can't, you know, it's one of those things where I'm trying
to about it. It's got to relate.
Yeah, the smorgasbord was good because it's just one thing. I was looking at, in the last two or three days, how I'm being bombarded with stories.
Mm.
And they're just stories that... And I can see that they're just stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have been low energy. And so the stories are either I'm dying or I'm aging.
Which,
And then it goes to what I need to do about it. Well, I need to quit, not do so much in my life. You know, it just starts making this. And then there's this planet that believes these stories and starts saying, well, with all these stories that are true,
mm-hmm.
we need to do something mm-hmm. about them. And
okay,
so,
here's our plan.
Here's our plan. And an interesting thing that I just saw right this second is, it's not really, we don't need to record about this one.
Oh.
We need to write about this one. In this case, writing would be more effective. And ooh. I don't, you know, I have no time to write, so that I do record. Because you're walking.
If it insists that you write and you have no time to write, that's a really good way to
Yeah, it's a good way. Well, that's true. Yes, that's right. Because I do actually want to write about it. I want to do both. Because
mm-hmm.
something else comes in and says, recording's enough, you don't really need to.
Uh-huh.
Pretty soon, that all of that will have me do nothing but just go home and go to bed.
Right, because I'm so low energy and undying anyway. So.
Exactly. They have to learn how to take care of themselves. You know, yeah, and there's somebody who would actually, there's another part that would just enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just, you know, yeah. But pretty soon they'd all come find me.
Mm-hmm.
Not the internal ones, although the internal as well, right? So
right.
Nobody's home, let's just suppose that could be a possibility.
Yeah.
Nobody's home, it would still happen. You know, I believe, because I believe the stories that are going on. But I've been fascinated by so I came in, I was facing the wall, and I could just feel the story is, you know, the thing that's triggering all the stories is the energy in the body.
Right.
And people.
It's the interpretation of the energy in the body.
Well, perhaps. It feels like the thing triggering the interpretation is the energy.
Mm-hmm.
No?
Hmm. Interesting place to look, isn't it?
To look.
Chickens and eggs.
Yeah. Well, what I saw was this, you know, my thing. I think this is, I just need to write it down because I say it every time, but this is it. I love sitting still. You know, I listen to it all the time. This is it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is it. This is God, so to speak. This is it. So just look really closely and spend time with this.
Yeah.
But what the story tells me is get away from this, fix this, this is something wrong with this.
Yeah.
This means this.
Yeah.
You have to change this in order to change this because this is wrong.
Yeah, we are in control and we have to prove it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And all set up to take me away from just being what is right
yes.
now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
really good to see, isn't it?
Yeah.
really good to see, because when I looked at it really closely, and then it was, when I would just sit with it and be present to it, there was nothing wrong.
Yeah.
It didn't actually feel, it was just like, oh wow, it's kind of tight, but it feels kind of spacious, and I wonder why there's a story being created about
it. Because it sounds like what didn't occur immediately was, oh, this is low energy.
Well, I have so many stories about low energy.
Mm-hmm. But so, when you were just sitting there,
occur. You're right. Right. Mm-hmm. When I was just being with it, that was not even a thought in my head.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't. It was just what was. And I don't really. And then I sort of. I don't know who was looking, but I was kind of looking to see if there was even any low energy around it,
yes.
And I couldn't really find any.
Yeah.
It totally reminds me of. Remember. Oh gosh, it was my first work retreat at the monastery.
Mm-hmm.
And I just stepped onto the property terrified, right? And I got a job to walk down the old, to the road toward the creek, and almost to the bottom, the note said. And there used to be, where Tom's thing was parked.
The trailer.
And so way down there, and then right above it, I guess something else must have been stored there, but there had been an old tarp. And I was told to clean up the old tarp. Now, the old tarp was disintegrated.
Yes.
So I have my bag, and I have my gloves, and I was terrified. Mm. It's spring, everybody's sneezing, all the bees and bugs, and this is before I lived here or anything. And I am just petrified, but I did know enough to pay really close attention to the fear.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got guidance right before. And so I just remember being astounded that the whole way down I couldn't find the fear. Where is it? And then I would notice something. Oh no, it's gotta be here. And it was, it wasn't there.
Yeah.
It wasn't true. Yeah, yes. The bees were still buzzing, and the sounds were still, and I was still alone, going all the way down there, and. But with that kind of directing the attention, at least at that time. Now, as practice has continued on, I can see things when I look. It doesn't always disappear long enough. It doesn't seem. But the angst about it does.
Yes.
In this case, yeah. I was so, it was that blissfully new practice. I mean, it was gone. So
and there's the spirit of inquiry that we've been talking about.
Yeah, kind of.
That's exactly it.
Yes. Yeah. And the angst, I really like the quote from the Gospel of Thomas, I'll call it angst now because I can't remember that word, but then astounded and then free. And that was exactly my experience.
Yeah.
Astounded. Oh my gosh, it's gone. You've got to be kidding me. I've been my whole life wishing it was gone, and now all I'm doing is looking at it and it's gone.
Yeah.
And then the freedom, that's picking up the little things, having a great life.
And isn't that exactly what you described just now about energy, low energy, and looking? And
yes, it is, and the importance of Sangha. Because my experience, I love the image of the bikes and the horses. I didn't see that one, but I don't have TV either. I haven't seen that country in 20 years or whatever. But I was on an airplane recently where I was watching some TV, so I would have thought I would have seen it. But anyway, I was thinking, I want to keep that image really of Sangha. For me, Sangha can be really helpful. Almost pretending you guys are walking home with me, because the quickness? I don't know. Anyway, I go unconscious pretty quickly.
Mm.
So I'll have this opening experience down here, and I get up there and I'm like, no, it's real. It's too much. To keep that innocent beginner's mind, spirit of inquiry.
Yes.
Walking like that little Clydesdale.
Yeah.
I can do this. I can go up against this things.
Yes, which you do over and over.
Right,
and
I did
over
like that
again.
Over and over and over again. Yeah. And have go knowing that that's the practice, that's the process, and I have a lot of experience with that.
Yes.
with different, you know, this feels somewhat different, but it's not different at all. The practice part of it is not different at all. Mm-hmm.
Just get here.
Yeah, just get here. Just get here. Mm-hmm. Get here. Get here.
Jim, and then Sequoia.
I'll just be super quick. I love that that piece about, you know, when I was first practicing and this thing just so worked. And I often look at that and it reminds me of the peace quote that something along the lines of humans have an almost infinite ability to take things for granted.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I often suspect that when it first happens, it's so startling and brand new that we notice it and we're grateful for it.
Yes.
But that it's always happening. It's just that it becomes, quote, normal.
Yeah.
And we forget that, so that it's like the fear is so the experience, and then the ability to step out of it at all is enormous.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be so fascinating if we could go back to that experience just for a split second. And, you know, probably it's like, wow, that was a really, whatever, you know, realize I still have that experience all the time. It's just that it's my everyday life, and so I forget to be grateful for it, present to it.
Yes.
That's been one of my little sort of prayers that I've been saying lately, is strip me of the ability to take things for granted.
Yeah, and for me that takes us back to where we began with disturbance, because that's the gift of disturbance.
Yeah, exactly.
Wake up.
Yeah, yeah.
Sequoia.
Mm. That's great. I love that prayer. I put my hands up because I saw it, and I've shared this before, and that, you know, without a change in behavior, there's no change in consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just sitting here seeing, you know, someone really wanted to be part of the party this morning.
Mm-hmm. And it was somehow being kept separate.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same old, what am I going to say?
Yeah.
And I saw, you know, kid, saw all the threads in my life of every social event I ever went to my whole life, you know.
Yeah. And what am I going to?
Right. Just kind of standing there and wondering how to enter or how to, you know, be part of. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes they're just not even going,
mm-hmm.
you know, because what the heck?
I'm not going to have anything to say when I get there.
Right. What was it we were talking about? There's the, it wasn't discomfort, but that.
Disturbance.
Mm-hmm. I don't need that kind of disturbance. I'll just stay here, you know, with the blankie and the wood stove and the, yeah.
Yeah.
And so.
And how is it? As you're speaking, what are you noticing about having stepped out of that conversation into?
Well, it's just always very interesting because I think there's the willingness to just do it, and then words flow.
Yes.
Or they don't sometimes, and you know, so what?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's. Even if the words don't flow, what, you know, it's like that just feels like an opportunity to give everyone permission to talk and not have words flow.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes. Yeah.
And
that there are no standards that we're having to follow. There's no,
right.
You know, if we stop, if we all stop speaking because we've said it before, mm-hmm. we have a lot of really quiet groups.
Yeah. So, and it always just feels so enlivening, you know, in the spirit of being lit up.
Yes.
It's always just so much more enlivening to participate.
Yeah.
And just so much of what was said this morning, I have been looking at all of this stuff, you know, health. Mm-hmm. Our diet, you know, being given jobs that to do that I'm like, I can't see it. I cannot see how this is going to work at all, you know, and that's one of the great things about monastic life, you know, because get out there, left to my own devices, I just wouldn't go. It's the same, it's back to the beginning, stay home with the cat or, you know, and I've had that experience too of just like, oh my God, I do not know. I just don't know where to start with this or what to do. And what I've noticed is, for me, I need to take the position of starting.
Yeah, get down on those blocks. Right. And get on your little suit.
I need to look like I'm starting. You know?
Yeah.
Because
in the spirit of starting.
I have to be in the spirit of starting because I have gone to that place of, well, you know, maybe I'll get inspired. And then, you know, somehow.
Yeah, let's wait.
Yeah, I'll just wait. Yeah. I think it's for me, that's akin to, I'll just wait. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll do that later when something just occurs.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I've noticed that if I actually do look like I'm going to do it, oftentimes that's when it falls in for me.
That's neat.
Yeah.
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 So be in the mind of beginning, as it were. And then life is those big Clydesdales behind them.
And then that's always followed by a story of, well, it can't be that easy. You know?
Yeah.
It needs to be, it needs to be a whole lot more angst associated with it.
That's so interesting, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
Can't be that easy as though, yeah, as though nothing had happened in a way.
It can't be that easy as though. Yeah, like the efforting meet. There needed to be some efforting coming from me.
Yeah. Yes.
Know, as if life is just not completely spontaneous and in the moment and joyful and you know, as if it needed me in there with my screwdriver.
When what was needed was a hammer, but I hasn't had a chance to tell you that.
Yeah, trying to take the door off to let it, you know, which actually I think I need to do, but so, you know, that's all.
Yeah, and it seems like it's just what you just demonstrated as well, putting your hands up even though you weren't thinking you particularly had anything to say, that's the beginning. That's the looking as if, and then just proceeding, and the words come, and everything flows. And again and yet again.
Just one other thing is that, you know, just looking at health issues, and again, this is just a change in behavior for me that's just really deep rooted. You know, kind of looking out there, like having folks out, you know, the professionals tell me, well, you know, this is what you need to do, and like that, and just it's been fun, you know, just having things just pop up, ways that I can support this that come from within, you know, that support health and wellness, and that you know, to just constantly be looking at taking information in and weighing it against what's true for this.
It's your experience.
What's my experience? And it just came to me this morning to just, you know, to write a visualization for myself for healing. And to really, you know, listen to that every day.
Yeah.
And to, and then just like, wow, how can I do? You know, but that was, again, just having that pop in.
Yeah. And one person who has all the information needed to create the visualization.
Yeah. And needs to create a visualization that this person really needs to hear.
Yeah.
You know? And that's really awesome.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. Anyway,
it's good.
Good.
Great.
Thank you.
This is better.